My guest today truly needs no introduction, but here we go. He's a member of three athletic halls of fame. He's coached cross-country, track, football, and basketball. He's won more games than any coach in Western Big Six Conference history, boys or girls. He's been a state and national coach of the year for girls basketball. He's about to enter his 50th year of coaching at Galesburg High School, including his 46th straight as coach of the girls basketball team. At one point, his girls teams won a state record 18 regional championships in a row and 19 straight sectional championships, both state records. He made Redbird Arena in Normal his home away from home, the team's away home away from home, as the streaks advanced to 8 Elite Eights, highlighted by a second, a third, and 2 fourth-place trophies. 8 more victories, which hopefully come this season, will give him 1,000 for his career. He wore the purple and gold of Knox College. He's a diehard Wisconsin Badgers fan, and he even has his own blog. Evan, welcome to Galesburg in Focus.
Boy, I get tired just listening there, Jay. Yeah,
I say that's the introduction will take up most of the interview here, but no, just kidding. So, like I said before, you know, you're in your 50th year of coaching. So, in all seriousness, why are you still doing this? What keeps you coming back?
Well, you know, it's not a simple answer. I mean, I think there's a lot of things that you in coaching. There's so many different aspects to it. It's not a job where there's just one thing. And so, being part of a team myself, even though I'm not a player, but being part of a team, that's a big deal. I love basketball as far as learning strategy and trying to, you know, keep up with the game and doing all those things. But, you know, right now it's something that I still enjoy, and it's something my health is good. I'm probably physically in better shape, so I'm ready to start the season than I have been in several years. But it's something that I enjoy, and I kind of look back. I knew I wanted to be a coach when I was really young. I mean, even when I was in junior high, I knew that's what I wanted to do, and. The excitement, I can still remember, you know, the first night being an assistant in boys basketball at Galesburg and going out on the floor and just how excited I was about that. And so it's something I've always loved.
Okay. So I'm sure when you started, you would have never imagined coaching for 50 years. I mean, is that even possible in today's age?
You know, it's interesting. My brother coached like 35 plus years, was a head volleyball coach in Clinton, Iowa. And several weeks ago, he and I were talking, and I said to him, would you, if you had it to do over again, would you want to end up be a high school coach? And his comment was that I would do it in a heartbeat if I could start in 1974. If I was starting in 2023, I think I'd find something else. And to kind of answer your question, I think I was fortunate to coach when I did. I think, quite honestly, if I was starting out coaching now, you know, I think, and it's not Galesburg, it's anywhere. I think the likelihood if I was starting out coaching now that I would still be coaching 10 years later, it's unlikely, because I just think that it seems like coaches are fired or forced out so much quicker than it used to be.
Okay. Briefly, how did you end up at Knox College and in Galesburg?
My mother grew up in Galesburg. My grandfather was a streetcar driver in Galesburg. Okay. And she had gone to Knox. And, you know, I think I played the game of looking at different schools and, you know, sending for catalogs and enjoyed getting the mail. Uh-huh. But I think I always knew that was going to go to Knox. And then Harley Nosher was the basketball coach then. And just he has an ability to make everybody feel special. And he, you know, even when you got form letters from him, there was always a handwritten note at the bottom. And I knew that's where I wanted to go. And It was a very good choice for me.
Yeah. So I'm talking today to longtime Galesburg High School girls basketball coach Evan Massey. So I did a little research here. Your teams, you know, had winning records in just 3 of your first 9 seasons. And then since then, I believe it's 36 straight winning seasons. What changed in 1987, 88 when you went from 12-15 the year before to 20-8 with the first regional championship?
You know, I don't know.
It's a pretty big turnaround.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know, some was, I think, you know, in the first years, you're, as a coach, you're trying to do things and you're trying to get things organized. But I really think, you know, what took off was getting kids to play more in the summer was mm-hmm. probably a big deal with it. And part of the problem was in those years in the 80s was we went through a period of time where there were no junior high sports.
Right.
And so that was really a tough thing for the girls then that came in the middle 80s, that there was a period of about 4 or 5 years where girls hadn't played at all. And so we were so far behind things with it. But, you know, I think really then in the late 80s is when we got the summer league going in Galesburg. And that, I think, really made a huge difference as far as how our girls were able to compete during the season.
Okay. Are there players that you consider to be building blocks or foundation players that kind of took your program to the next level?
Boy, Jay, you're testing me out. Yeah, and I mean, it's, you're always hesitant to mention, you know, individual players because, you know, you asked me that question today, and I'll give you one answer, and then if you asked me again in a week, I probably would think of somebody else with them. But, you know, looking back, you know, right from the start, when I was hired, that one of the things that the administration felt was that some of the best athletes weren't playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things—
Why do you think that is?
I'm not sure. And, you know, and
were they playing sports at all? Or
yes,
just...
they were. But it was that maybe basketball wasn't something that they were all, you know, in. And one of the things, you know, actually was that there were three great tennis players. There was Heidi Eastman, Amy Christman, and Amanda Allen. And they ended up, that was one of the things the administrator said, that, you know, those are kids that played junior high basketball and were really good in junior high. You need to figure out how to keep them involved. And two of them did. Of Amy Christman was probably one of our best players all time. And then Amanda Allen, who became my future sister-in-law, she ended up, went out also. But then, you know, in the middle 80s, you know, I think we didn't have success in terms of wins and losses, but a kid that really bought in and understood the idea of if you're going to be a basketball player working on your game was Brenda Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting now, she and her husband own a gym outside of Madison, and so she's evidently continuing that with other people. But, you know, she's somebody that I think got the ball rolling as far as getting kids willing to play and willing to do those things. And then, you know, the class of Linda Carlson and Shannon Johnson were ones that really kind of got things, the ball rolling in the right direction.
What was basketball like in the early days as far as girls basketball, as far as, you know, how many people came to the games or where you were able to play, you know, all that kind of thing?
Yeah, before I started, the girls had most of their practices at Hitchcock Gym, and they had it set up where they would do one practice in Thiel a week for the girls there. When I started, we had all our practices in Thiel unless you had wrestling or freshman games or JV games, then that we would go. Well, we wouldn't have freshman games when I started. There were only 3 years.
Right.
But we sometimes then maybe were at Lombard or Churchill for practice. But most of the time we were in Thiel. But as far as the games with things, originally they pulled the bleachers out behind the benches, and that was plenty of room for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, maybe 3/4 of the parents would come and watch, and you know, that was about it. Not many students or anything. And then I wish I would have written down, because it, you know, really was a progression where then they, at a certain point, we were getting enough people for conference games where they pulled out the other side of bleachers, but on Saturdays we wouldn't. Mm-hmm. And so then when they finally got to the point where really in the mid-90s was when they had to open up the balcony, was a big deal of as far as seeing the growth and the excitement with it. And then the first really, really big crowd was then in 95 when we played in the sectional here, and we beat Quincy in the first round of the sectional, and we beat Peoria Notre Dame. And I can remember then how neat it was coming out, and you looked up into the corner of the each balcony. Mm-hmm. It was full and stuff. And so for, you know, the excitement for the kids to have that recognition was really a neat thing.
Yeah. So what about your love for basketball? Has it changed since you first started coaching or playing? Are there aspects that you like more about the game that you didn't realize maybe at the time that you realize now?
I don't know. I think as far as basketball itself, of it's something where the approach, the philosophy changes over time, and you know, some things that you see on a college level translate to high school girls, some things don't. You know, those aspects of it. I think basketball for myself, of that the time coming up right now is the time I enjoy the most, where the first 2 weeks before you play a game where you're you know, there's no outcome that you have to worry about and have to deal with, that it's all trying to build a team and trying to build what you want the culture to be like, of how they're going to work, how they're going to relate to each other, all those things, the basic offense you're going to use, the defense you're going to use, all those kind of things. That's really a fun part of, mm-hmm. of things.
Have you had coaches along, I mean, kind of even far back, come, you say, how did you do that? How did you build a program like that? And what would you tell them as far as, like, are there certain aspects of the program that, you know, catapulted your program to the next level?
Well, first, you've got to have support from the administration. It's got to be something that's important. And I have been fortunate that way, always have had positive administration that way. And, you know, right now, what's great for me is that the present administration, from Dr. Asplund down to Eric Matthews, have been just wonderful to me as far as positive and supportive. And so that's, you know, the first part, mm-hmm. that you've got to have that kind of support. But I think, you know, the big deal in building a program is I think you have to, and I would guess it's true in any job, is you've got to learn to network with people. And a lot of times you think of networking that you're doing it to get connected so then you could apply for another job and you've got somebody that'll hire you.
Right.
And it's not that in any sense, but you've got people that you learn from, because I think if you don't have those people you can interact with, you make unforced errors in terms of what you do. And you don't, that in coaching, sometimes you'll make errors and it's, you don't intend to, but it just happens. And so sometimes that's the case. You know, for me, I was fortunate. I grew up around coaches, mm-hmm. that my father was a coach. My best friend in high school was Mike Tracy, that became the football right. coach at Alleman, and we stayed connected. My best friend in college was Steve Walton, who went on and coached at Sterling and was a Hall of Fame coach there. And then my brother that I interact with him, well, we used to, especially when he's coaching, interact all the time. And that's important, having those kind of things. And then I was really lucky that I student taught for and then taught across the hall from Hal DeVore. And there's been a lot of great teachers at Galesburg, but Hal, in my opinion, was the best teacher I was ever around. And so he was my mentor. And so it's not coaching, but coaching's teaching, right. and interact with him. And the other that was real positive for me is developed a relationship with Kelly Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly, I think, was one of the best coaches ever here. And we used to jog. And so we'd end up probably 4 or 5 times a week, we'd be spending 45 minutes jogging and just talking.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mainly me asking 100 questions the whole time around. And he, I learned so much from Kelly.
Okay. Were there any players that, not necessarily statistical leaders, but who worked hard and improved their performance to earn a role, that somebody that like improved a lot during your time coaching?
Yeah, you know, right away when you say that, Sarah Wood is an example mm-hmm. that way of that we, I'd have to pause and think about it, but when she was a sophomore, she started on the varsity, and it was more a thing that she and Amy Pendry both started, and it wasn't like they were the classic, you know, sophomore stars that were going to score a lot of points,
mm-hmm.
that they played hard, they defended and so forth. But then Molly Watson was coming behind them, and I remember thinking to myself of, you know, I wonder if this will be the last time that Sarah ever starts,
mm-hmm.
because Molly's coming behind her, and Sarah really was at best an average shooter that only had maybe 15-foot range. And she, from the time the season was over to when we started to do stuff in the summer, it was like she was a different player.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then you hear people telling stories about how much time spent in the at the Y doing things. And another player like that was Chanel Jackson, who would have been, if I've got the years right, I think would have been 2000 or 2001 would have been her year. But she was somebody who was a good player, but then by her senior year of when we made the run to state, she was the reason we did that. Of we had, you know, Sarah Pacheco and other good players, but Chanel had worked so hard on her shot that we had some games where she just was out of her mind as far as hitting shots, and it was all because the same thing. She never bragged about it, never announced that she was working on her game, but people would tell me, I was at the Y, I saw that one kid out there shooting and stuff, and that was Chanel.
Yeah. Talking today to longtime Galesburg High School girls basketball coach Evan Massey. So your son Alan is now a college basketball coach. He serves as the scouting and analytics director at the University of Tulsa. We always think of a dad teaching his son, but what have you learned from him? I know you go down and, you know, you watch practice quite a bit and, you know, kind of pick his brain.
Yeah, and it's funny because now he's patient with me. I'll say that. He's patient where he's patient, but he's respectful that he I'll sometimes text him a question or I'll, you know, send him an email and say, hey, can you send me a video on such and such, and that he'll do those things for me and stuff. But it's fun for me as a dad because I don't know if I can explain it well, but he has the ability, and I think I'm lucky. Lexi Daniels, my assistant, has the same ability where I sometimes watch basketball and I zone in on some little detail, whereas I think Alan has the ability to kind of see the big picture of things and helps that way. But yeah, I mean, of where the he's surrounded by great coaches and they're 24 hours a day. I mean, they go to work and that's just basketball mm-hmm. and you're meeting and you're talking about it and things that he's beyond me as far as what he knows.
So you probably, I mean, it was kind of natural for him to follow, to be a coach after everything, you know, mm. that you've been surrounded with. But are you surprised that he's taking it up to the next, you know, to that level that he's at?
Well, to be honest, when he said that that's what he thought he wanted to do was college coaching, I tried to discourage him. I said, oh, if you want to go into coaching, don't do that. That's such a long road of
mm-hmm.
go into high school coaching and things. And he was determined, and you know, as my wife says, it's, you know, for her, it's exciting just watching him be able to chase his dreams. Mm-hmm. And what's really unusual is he started out at Drake as a manager, and he had four different head coaches in 4 years, mm-hmm. which is a negative, but it turned out such a positive because he became linked to four different coaching staffs. So right now, it's almost like you'd say he's been coaching for 15 years for all of the contacts he's made.
Mm-hmm. What's the best piece of advice you could give a young coach?
Boy, you should have given me time ahead of time, given me so I could study these questions with them. I think of going back to what I said earlier. I think as a young coach, I think you want to get connected to as many coaches as you can. Mm-hmm. Of, you know, if you have, you know, if there's one coach that can be a mentor for you. And, you know, for me, you know, playing for Coach Nosher was such a huge plus of all the things that he did and how he ran things. And so the connection there. But I think that's the advice I would give is that, one, you need to be connected to get connected to people so you can throw things off of them. And the other part of it is, don't ever stop learning in what you do. I can remember when computers first came out and typing up an outline that was going to use for youth basketball and telling my wife, well, I've got this done. I'll never have to change it again. Well, after a while, you learn that you better be changing all the time.
Okay. Did you ever come close to or aspire to be a boys basketball coach or a college coach?
Not really.
Okay.
No. I think, you know, it's always exciting if you feel like somebody else wants you. But I think somebody once said, well, did you ever look at other high school girls' jobs in Illinois? And my answer to them was that for most of my career, I would have to say that the girls' job at Galesburg was the best job in the state. Mm-hmm. And so I already had the best job. Why would I want to go someplace else?
Okay. This question's probably a little easier to answer maybe after it happens, but how difficult is it to get so close but not win a state championship? What's the difference between, because you finished second 1 year, what's the difference between first and second, you know, in the moment, I guess, and long-term?
Two hardest losses in coaching are your first loss in the season, because I think you tend to be over-optimistic, and it's a reality check where you realize, ooh, we may not be as good as I thought we were going to be, and the last loss. And it doesn't matter where it is, but, you know, with the how hard is it to come that close of, it's hard, but it's a lot harder to lose in the regional mm-hmm. than it is at state, because
yeah.
by the time you get to state, if you're playing in the Final Four, there's been so many good things that have happened that as the adult, it's involved in the whole process that a lot of times you're thinking, you quickly start thinking about, you know, all the excitement and all the positive things you have. And for us, you know, when we were doing that, what was so nice about it was just a two-class system. And so, I mean, that was the
right.
game. It wasn't like now it's more of separated and stuff. So it was an exciting time for sure.
What was that run like? How many straight times did you go to state?
I think seven.
So what's that like? I mean, the first one is probably just like unbelievable. And mm-hmm. then as it goes on, do you ever get used to it? Is it special every single time? And then when you look back that you did it that many years in a row, you know, how do you reflect on that?
No, it never got old. I think it got old for some people around us, you know, like the first year we went, they had an all school assembly to send them off. And then by the last time we went, that they had made a policy that they'd only have a welcome home if you won a trophy with it. And so it was that part was, different. But no, it doesn't get old at all, because it's like I said before, there's just I don't think many of our teams ever, you know, blew people out in the regional. Maybe in the regional we did, in the sectional once in a while we did, but it's tough, and so there's an excitement. But the biggest thing that made it so exciting at the time was just how many people from Galesburg followed us. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't matter, you know, at that point, it didn't matter where the regional or where the sectional was, that we could play the sectional, whoever the toughest team was, we could play the sectional on their floor, and it didn't matter because it would be our home court because of the size of the crowd. That everywhere we went, if the regional we'd go, that 75% of the people in the crowd would be Galesburg. At the sectional they would, at state they would, the majority of people would be. And so lots of things were exciting about it, but the biggest thing was just how much the community supported us. It was unbelievable.
How much confidence did the girls get knowing that they could do? I mean, part of it is just like knowing that you can get there, but then like, you know, the first 4 years, but after that you have players that hadn't, you know, been at the beginning. How much of a confidence is it, like almost like, you know, we should be there?
You know, it's, I remember vividly of we were leaving the floor, and it would have been Sarah Larson and Jenny Zolper was their freshman year, and we're leaving the floor after we had gotten after the trophy presentation. And Jenny turning to Sarah, and I was walking behind him, Jenny turning to Sarah and saying, "We're going to come back here every year." And I just remember then thinking to myself, oh, how naive, that's not going to happen. And son of a gun that, you know, the next 3 years they did that way. And, you know, maybe that's, you know, part of being a teenager, that you just, you think it's going to happen. And mm-hmm. and so maybe in some ways there was a confidence that our kids had.
Okay. Talking to longtime Galesburg girls basketball coach Evan Massey. So 8 more wins gives you 1,000 for your career, and that would make you just the second coach, I believe, in Illinois girls basketball history.
Third.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. The IHSA had you second, so I wasn't sure about that. But anyway, trailing Dorothy Gators of Marshall with 11-33. What would 1,000 wins mean to you? I know it's a program thing, but, you know, personally, what's that mean to you?
It'll mean a lot to me. And, you know, it's kind of like it's all put in the package with, like you said, at the beginning of, you know, coaching, this would be my 50th year coaching in general and 46 with the girls, that it's something that I think it makes me feel a little nostalgic of looking back, and, you know, you think of all the players and all the assistant coaches and stuff that were involved in doing that. But I think kind of maybe over the last few years of I've become more appreciative of recognizing how lucky I am to have gotten to coach at Galesburg, but also how lucky I've gotten to coach this long, because, mm-hmm. you know, there aren't many coaches that retire voluntarily.
Right.
Anything. And so I'm fortunate that way.
Yeah. So finally, 50 years of coaching and hopefully 1,000 career wins are coming up by the end of the season. So people are going to ask, how long does Evan Massey coach? What do you tell those people?
I don't know that it's, you know, right now, you know, obviously, as we've talked here, I like basketball. It's something that, you know, I realize every morning if I look in the mirror and shave, I realize I'm not 45 uh-huh. anymore. So I realize that it's, you know, you can't go forever with it, but for now, I enjoy it, and, you know, my plan is to continue as long as I enjoy it and as long as the administration feels I have a value.
Okay. We're going to finish with a little rapid fire around here, so I'm going to say something, and you give me your first thought.
Okay? I've never been good with short answers,
okay.
You can tell.
We'll see.
Okay. I'll ramble.
Okay. Savannah.
My dad. Proud of everything he did there.
Who just went in the Hall of Fame
At Fulton.
At Fulton, yeah. So he's in several Hall of Fames as well. Okay. Coach.
I think probably my family and my friends, they're all coaches.
Okay. Harley Nosher.
An inspiration and builder of culture.
Favorite gym other than Thiel?
That's a tough one. Probably Redbird Arena.
Yeah, he had a little bit of success there. Favorite movie?
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers, okay. That would kind of fits. How about favorite professional athlete or sports hero?
Oh, gee. Maybe hero would be maybe Mark Burley.
Okay. White Sox. Favorite professional coach or manager?
I would say...
Or I guess it could be collegiate coach, too.
Yeah, of probably Popovich or, you know, Bo Ryan would be close there.
Okay. And finally, if you wouldn't have been a teacher or coach, what would you have been?
Probably unemployed.
Okay, so that wraps up my conversation with Silver Streaks girls basketball coach Evan Massey. Evan, needless to say, it's been a pleasure to follow you and chronicle your historic journey, and you're a true legend among Galesburg and Illinois high school coaches. So thank you for joining me today on Galesburg in Focus.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for all you do for Galesburg with the work you're doing. It's really has a positive impact, and appreciate it.
Okay, I appreciate that.